The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you for joining us today. You're going to learn a lot.
This is a learning one, And we've got a professional here out of New York City, the big apple.
New York City.
Who's ever been there? It's very exciting. I love New York. So we have a divorce attorney.
Matrimony law.
And we're not doing this because we want you guys to start planning for the end when you haven't even started. But rather, we want you to be prepared and have, you know, like when we had Dr. Magdalena Fossey on, when we had Dan Hines, you know, there's certain things beyond, you know, the wedding planning that you should be talking about with your partner and thinking about
now,
and planning for it now.
Yeah, think about it now. Keep it in your peripheral.
Yeah.
And then enter marriage with eyes wide open.
Yeah, and don't ignore things, you know, and what you don't know, you need to know, and that's why we're bringing you this guest. So, welcome to the show, Alyssa Rauer.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Alyssa, tell us who you are and what makes you the expert.
So I am...
We promise that's the only time she'll talk like that.
Yeah.
I am a divorce lawyer in New York City. I've been practicing solely in the area of matrimonial law for the past decade, which means that I've been doing this for many, many, many hours. And I do a lot of divorces. I also do a lot of prenuptial agreements. And for the people who don't know, a prenup is a document you enter into before you're married that sets out what will happen upon a divorce or upon death, which are the two ways that your marriage will end. And of course, you hope it's in death, but many marriages unfortunately end in divorce. So a prenup can help protect you if your marriage does end in divorce.
And common misconception is that prenups are only necessary for like Paris Hilton and Malia Obama one day. It's those that have so much money or stand to inherit a ton of money. Those are the only people, right? That's the only people that need it.
Absolutely not. I mean, obviously.
What?
I am biased, of course, because I'm a divorce lawyer. And so I think in terms of what would happen if you got divorced. But a prenup is for, I think, anyone. You don't have to have just a lot of money, especially if you are a business owner or somebody who's entrepreneurial in spirit. You can use a prenup to protect future assets that you may have down the road. You can provide for alimony, which is also known as maintenance or spousal support. So if you are somebody who is completely averse to paying your betrothed, if you were to get a divorce, that's something you could provide in a prenuptial agreement. You already have a prenup. It's whatever law of your state. I mean, obviously, it's not one you craft. So a prenup is really for anybody who has their act together and wants to have a custom situation if they were to get divorced, as opposed to just the default laws of the state in which you're residing.
Of the state. Got it. And most people, and at least I'm guessing here, haven't even done the research to find out what their state provides or would dictate in the event of the marriage ending one way or the other.
You're correct. And another common misconception is that about what state would do your divorce. So it really doesn't matter where you're married. The state where you're married doesn't control. The state that controls is where you're living up until the end of your marriage. So what people don't realize is that the laws differ tremendously from state to state, both in terms of spousal support, child support, and property distribution. Take, for example, New York State versus Connecticut, which are very close in proximity, but are miles apart in terms of how they treat property acquired during a marriage. New York, on one hand, says that everything you get as an inheritance during your marriage would remain your separate property if you were divorced, whereas Connecticut, on the other hand, treats everything you acquire during the marriage as marital property. So that means if you inherit $10 million that would be totally yours in New York State and you live in Greenwich, Connecticut, it's all in the marital pot. So one of the important reasons, another important reason to have a prenup is you fix the law. You don't need to worry about, oh, I'm moving from New York to Connecticut. Now I need to research the laws and figure out what I'm going to do. You can move wherever you want and not have to worry.
And that follows you because that's what you decided on as a couple, no matter where you're living.
Correct. So that controls for, you know, no matter where you live, the prenuptial agreement will control.
Interesting.
Got it. So when you talked about like which state you're in, not that you got married in, but where you primarily live, because I assume some of the arguments might be like, we only spend half the year in Greenwich and the other half in Manhattan. And then it's like, how do you prove that? But it got me thinking about gay couples, because that big court case, wasn't it in New York with Edith Windsor?
Yes.
And when she inherited money and then, or her partner did, but they weren't legally married and she had to fight for, it just made me think that like gay couples have probably been playing under a different set of rules for a while, but now that it's all legal, you have opened up your client pool in a sense, but also it was like, that had to be sort of something you matrimony lawyers had to keep up on, right? Because they were just, the laws weren't the same.
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting about the same-sex marriage arena, and that's not necessarily my area of expertise, is that some states still don't recognize gay marriage. So you can be recognized now in terms of the federal government and in a number of states, such as New York, but you might not be able to get divorced if you move to a state like Texas that still doesn't recognize it. So little bit more intricate in terms of the law. And that's not necessarily right. Something that a prenup could control for, but it goes to how important it is to understand the rules in your particular state. So the law still has a lot of catching up to do in terms of same-sex couples, although we've made enormous strides. I had done a lecture like 8 years ago when the federal government didn't recognize same-sex marriage, but New York State did, and the difficulties that created.
Presented.
Yeah, and now, thankfully, that DOMA has been repealed, you know, there's same-sex couple living in a place like New York is treated the same as a man and a woman who get married because they're not subject to any of that. So a lot of the inequalities, thankfully, have been swept away, but there's still some that remain for certain.
So gay or straight, it's important to research your state's policies, laws, rules when it comes to both marriage and divorce.
Potentially. I mean, I don't want to put a total burden on people. I think it's important to think about it. So if you're going to have a prenuptial agreement, then you don't need to worry as much, right? So if you have a prenup that governs what happens in terms of spousal support and in terms of property distribution, then you can move wherever you want and not have to worry. If you don't have a prenup, and let's say you're a stay-at-home mom, for example, and you move somewhere like Austin, Texas, and Texas has terrible alimony rules, then I would think about it. And I think that's some of the advice that I give to people who maybe don't have prenups. If you don't have a prenup, then you really should be thinking before every major life decision, whether that's the birth of a child, whether that's a cross-country move or any state move, or if that's leaving the workplace, to think about if, God forbid, the marriage doesn't work out. Because I see so many people who had no idea it was coming. So it's not the kind of thing, sometimes you're thrown completely off guard. And in addition to the emotional and psychological devastation, you also don't want to have to deal as much with the, oh, I haven't worked in 20 years and the state that I'm living in really doesn't provide for very generous spousal support. And so now I'm even worse off than I was before.
My next question was about couples. So this is, we're still thinking like you really do have to forecast into the future here. Like, yes, you're 25 years old and you're thinking about your wedding, but like Alyssa said, life changes after a wedding with marriage and moving and careers and potential, you know, just big things might happen. So you sort of, it's like we can't, we don't have a crystal ball, but thinking long term is what would lead most people, if it's in their means, to look into or research what a prenup would do for them. And I was wondering about like mixed families. So like, two people getting married when they both have kids and exes and maybe like other property. So, you know, we don't know our demographics perfectly for who listens to our podcast, but I can assume that some of the people getting married have been married before or are, you know, going to Brady Bunch their families together when they get married. So in what ways, you know, are those families benefiting from this kind of thinking ahead of time?
So probably different concerns when somebody has children from a prior marriage. I think I said that a prenup can deal with what happens in the event of divorce and the event of death. And when people have children from a prior marriage and maybe they each have their own independent wealth, then they typically will want to have a waiver of certain estate rights. So most states, and again, every state differs because that's what makes this country so interesting. Every state is so different. You can't disinherit your spouse. So in New York, for example, if I chose to leave everything that I have to the ACLU and I cut my husband out entirely, he could go to probate court upon my death and say, wait, I want to get my a third of my wife's estate. You can waive that right in a prenup. So that means that you can leave your estate to whomever you choose and you don't have to worry about those minimums to your spouse. So for couples who are joining two families together, they might each say, you know what, I don't want your money if you die. So we're going to have estate waivers so that you could each leave our estates to our own children. And so that's another reason you could get a prenuptial agreement, to put in certain of those estate waivers. And then whatever you put in your will or your trust, which is a separate document from the prenuptial agreement, would control.
Can I ask let me ask you this, because I never thought about this, and so I'm so glad that we're bringing this up to our listeners. Tell me, Alyssa, what is the process and how expensive is it, and how emotionally, also I'm curious, you know, how much do emotions come into play when you're sitting with a couple or even getting one of the other there? I'm sure there's sometimes, you see it on TV, right? You see it on TV. The rich family tells the daughter, you need a prenup. And when she brings it up to the fiance, he's like, oh, how could you even? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Right?
So,
if you really love me, you would know we're going to be together forever.
For this.
People think it's not romantic, like you're planning to get divorced, yeah. Which certainly I'll gander to say almost right. Nobody enters a marriage planning or wanting to get divorced, right? We all go into our marriage hoping that it's forever, but people change and finances change and things happen and people fall out of love and it doesn't always work out. So first is, you know, I get rid of that notion that it's not romantic. I'm not saying it is romantic, but it's good planning. It's like getting life insurance. It's like getting disability insurance. We hope we're never disabled, but if God forbid we are, you know, I don't want to be in a situation where my family has no income, right? Life insurance is a little different because we're all going to die someday, but we certainly hope that we're not going to die in the term. I have 20-year term insurance. I'm only 39, so I certainly hope, right, I'm not going to die. But if I do die, I feel much better that I have all that insurance for my family, and so they're protected. Yeah. So first, you know, think of it more like an insurance policy instead of this, you know, oh, we're planning for our divorce and the demise of our marriage. Second,
that's what I was going to say. Yeah. It's like the wedding insurance. We've talked about that before. It's not lovely and sexy to talk about, and you don't even think about that something could happen. But wedding insurance is really, really important. Mm-hmm. And so, thinking of it in that
insurance
way.
And prenups both, you can't retroactively get it.
Correct.
You can't decide later, like, oh, actually, the shit is about to hit the fan. I need a prenup. It's like, wow, you did not think about that when it mattered. And that's the challenge, I think.
Yeah. And so in answer to your question, how do you approach it? So I have certain certain best practices that I like to follow to make sure that it's psychologically as healthy a process as possible for the couple. So both sides of the couple should have representation. There should be full and complete financial disclosure, and we should start the process as early as possible. The last thing you want to do is to be writing your wedding vows while you're simultaneously thinking and talking about your prenup. Ideally, you get it done, signed, and put in a drawer before you send out your wedding invitations. I've had, unfortunately, many couples where we're really doing it up until the last minute, and you know, it can be done. Most states, New York State has no requirement that it be done in a certain amount of time in advance of a wedding. I've had couples sign it on the way to their rehearsal dinner. I've had them sign it the day before the wedding.
Oh, wow.
But it's not ideal in terms of a stress management standpoint, as you can imagine. So get it done as early as possible. And then finally, and most importantly, you should be both involved in the negotiation and the creation of the document. It is much more common that one side is the one who wants the prenup. So typically, very wealthy parents want their child to get a prenuptial agreement. The other side maybe hasn't thought about it. Maybe it's difficult. And what some lawyers do is draft the whole agreement, and then let's call him the husband-to-be, just hands it to his bride-to-be, and it's a fully drafted agreement. And even if that draft agreement is very favorable to the wife, it doesn't feel great to be handed a fully drafted document. You feel like you've had nothing to do with the creation of that document. So the way I handle it is both sides get lawyers. We start to talk about what do we want this document to look like. You know, I encourage my client to speak with his or her fiance about it. You know,
Wait, Alyssa, can I stop you for a second?
Yeah.
You're saying that the couple, each person should have their own attorney. You don't represent both and say, let's draw up this prenup for you both?
No, it's very important.
Oh, I did not know that. I assumed you worked with the couple together.
No. In New York State, I mean, certainly people can go to a mediator to draft their agreement. A mediator is somebody who does not represent either of them, but merely drafts the document. But any good mediator is going to encourage them to get attorneys. So it is most common in New York that each side has separate representation. It's you know, not adversarial in terms of we're not arguing aggressively about things. I'm very mindful of the fact that this is a couple who's in love and is starting their lives together, and I want it to be as collaborative as possible. But in any negotiation, there's always going to be different interests on each side. So it's important that each side has somebody who's representing them. So maybe one side is really concerned with making sure the family money is protected, and the other side is really concerned about what happens if I leave the workforce and in terms of spousal support or alimony. So you are by nature coming into it with different interests, because if you were to get divorced, your interests are not going to be aligned. So it's very important to get separate representation. And then to really speak with your attorney about what the law is in terms of what would happen if you were married and divorced without a prenuptial agreement, and what do you want to do that's different. I think the best prenuptial negotiations are when each side feels like their anxiety has been addressed and each side is getting something. I really believe that a prenup can be a win-win for both sides, right? So one side, for example, wants to protect family money. And I'll use the same example that I just used. The other side worries that, oh, in New York, you know, if I leave my job, I'm only going to get maintenance for, you know, maybe 30% the length of the marriage. So in exchange for an extra protection on the family money, the other side can get maybe a longer term of maintenance than the law would provide. So in an example like that, it's really a win-win for both of them. So that's how I try to craft agreements, and I try to craft them so that it really is a collaboration and nobody's handed an agreement or no agreement is drafted until we have an agreement in principle on the terms. I know that was long, so I'm happy to break any of that down.
No, no, it makes sense.
You had also asked about cost.
Yeah, I'm curious because now I'm hearing now two lawyers and it sounds expensive to me.
It can be expensive. So I typically charge a flat rate for my prenups. Keep in mind, because I know you have listeners all over the country, I'm in Manhattan and we're one of the most expensive markets in the country.
Oh, yeah.
So I typically charge a flat rate of about $12,000 to $15,000 when I'm drafting a prenup. And if I'm the reviewing attorney, maybe it's $10,000 approximately. So you're probably looking, if you live in somewhere like Manhattan or San Francisco or LA, you're probably looking at an all-in cost, you know, of about $20,000. You can get it done cheaper, but as with anything, you know, sometimes you can sacrifice quality, and what you don't want to do is have a prenup that's ambiguous or confusing, which can create more problems on a divorce. So then a really clean, well-drafted prenuptial agreement. So if you're going to do it right. Don't hire...
Right.
If you live in Manhattan, you know, where kind of everybody has a specialty, don't hire the person to do your prenup who also does your real estate closings. You know, hire somebody who does them all the time and really understands what would happen upon a divorce and what it would look like.
So you can get a moderator... Right?
A mediator.
A mediator
to help you through it and then hire an attorney just to look it over and make sure it's all...
That's not typical, I don't think, because usually a mediator, then you have three professionals you're paying.
Okay, guys, this is where we talk about a very exciting event that we're going to be attending. Christy and I together.
Face to face, in the flesh.
We're going to even, like, be able to hold hands and hug.
So much hand-holding.
Give kisses, drink alcohol together. It is the Modern Love Event. Go to modernloveevent.com, and you're going to see just when you get to that page why we are going to this event. It is like no other wedding showcase you've been to before, okay? It's not one of those big, crazy wedding expos
with... folding tables and pop-up backdrops.
It is inspiring. It is the anti-booth, no folding tables, like taking Pinterest and bringing it to life. Interactive, highly designed, friendly people. They're pushing the limits. They're breaking out of basic, and we are all about
it. And we are going to be there in a fun lounge area ourselves. We're going to be answering people's questions, recording live. We're going to do a little, not a presentation show, like we'll be on stage talking to the people.
We're going to have fun with it.
We'll collect questions from all of you listeners ahead of time, too, so we know we have some great stuff to talk about. And then we can't wait to bring back all this content and record from Nashville. December 2nd is the actual event day.
It's a Sunday, December 2nd.
At the Cordell, which is a gorgeous hotel venue there. We're going to be in a hotel room, we think, so we can do some recording, hotel room recording. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe hotel room recording. So that's the most fun is the hotel room recording.
We would love to see any of our listeners there. If you are in town, able to drive there, make a Southern road trip out of it. We would love, love, love to see you. And let us know via email ahead of time if you're going to make it on December 2nd in Nashville.
Sunday, December 2nd, 3 to 6 p.m., go to modernloveevent.com, click on tickets, and there is a discount code for you, 50% off tickets. That code is Big Wedding, all one word, Big Wedding, modernloveevent.com. We hope to see you there. Let us know if we will. All right, here we go. Let's give some advice. So, Alyssa, what would be your advice if I am Michelle and I'm engaged and I'm listening to this episode and I'm thinking this is something we should probably do just because I want to make sure that we're looking out for each other's interests. It's a mutual thing. How do I approach this with my partner? You know, what should I say? What would you say?
That's a very good question. And it's one a lot of people have. I think, again, the earlier you do it, the better. So you're not, nobody likes surprises, especially in the wedding stress. So it can be a difficult conversation to have potentially. And there is a propensity to procrastinate on it. Don't do that. Do it as early as possible. And I would start it out with that, you know, this is not about the love that we feel for each other. I am in this, you know, for a lifetime. I do, however, think that it's smart to talk about what would happen in any scenario of our marriage. So let's talk about what if I die first. Let's talk about what if you die first. And let's talk about what happens if we get divorced. Because I want to decide those things now while we're happy and in love. And I never want to see us battling. And hopefully we then put together these plans and put them in a drawer and never look at them again. But we know that they're there. I'm, you know, a big believer in insurance of every kind to sort of prepare for anything that life might throw at me.
That's
good.
And
I think a prenup is a very smart planning tool that we should think about.
I mean, because that's really good. Really, really good. Because, and you know, you dealing with divorce, you've seen pretty awful things happen to your clients, I'm sure. Them lose not only, I mean, the emotional part of it, just horrendous, but, you know, maybe something that a family member left to them, or, you know, maybe they stopped. You know, for me, when my children were born, I didn't work. I was a stay-at-home mom. God forbid, if something would have happened, you know, how would I have survived? I would have needed support. Not that my husband wouldn't have done that anyway, but I'm sure you see all sorts of scenarios of how people really, because they didn't plan, they really, you know.
Yeah, and I'm a big believer in the trite but true saying that knowledge is power. So whatever you choose to do in your marriage, just do it knowingly. So, you know, you might choose in your marriage, and that's why I think it's important to have these conversations that, you know, everything we have coming into the marriage, we want to join together. Or we want to join together after we've been married for 5 years, or we want to keep that separate. And no matter what you choose to do, there's no judgment, there's no right or wrong answer. Just make sure you're doing it knowingly. And what I find is that so many people don't know, and they have inadvertently, for example, made their inheritance, which would otherwise be their separate property upon a divorce, they've made it marital property. And that's because they just didn't know and didn't understand and didn't have a prenuptial agreement. So I think having that knowledge, having an understanding with your partner is extremely important. And above all, no matter what you do, have knowledge about your finances while you're getting during your marriage. I think it's very important to, even if you delegate sort of the primary day-to-day responsibilities to your husband or wife, that you at least have an overarching knowledge about what you have, what you're saving, because it's so easy, you know, especially like you, I have kids, it's so easy to get so busy and involved in that and just to delegate the finances to the other person. And that can be dangerous, not because your partner is going to do something devious, but because you need to have an understanding at the end of the day. You know, it's important to be independent and to know what you have so that you can stand on your own 2 feet if you have to, and not to be in a situation where now you're getting divorced and it turns out that your partner wasn't managing the money as well as you thought you were. You should have an understanding of all of that.
Oh, man.
Yes,
yeah.
You don't know what you don't know. So put that on the back burner, everyone, while you're doing all the other planning that you're doing, and make sure that the lines of communication. Now, before you get married, now is the time to swing them wide open so that they stay open. Now, I wanted to talk if we can move into like post-wedding. Now we are married. You're seeing couples that come to you at the end mm-hmm. of their marriage by probably many different avenues. But as a, I mean, like we're wedding planners and in a way you're the opposite. If it takes a professional to guide you through what can be a very complicated, stressful situation. So that is you. You are that professional. Do you have, like, after years of doing this, have you gleaned some, like, I don't know, if they only knew, or, you know, lessons learned from your perspective, watching the way things sort of dissolve? Is there a way we can work to avoid it?
Oh, you mean work to avoid the dissolution? That's a really good question. I think, as with every relationship, so much comes down to communication. And, you know, I see marriages that end for really big, salacious reasons like affairs and drugs and mental illness and financial deception. And then there's ones that just more quietly fall apart because you just haven't been talking and life gets really busy and you stopped really being close to the other person. And in some ways, it's the quiet ways that marriages end that's a little scarier than the big ones, right? Because we could sort of see that happening more. I mean, I don't think anyone sits there and expects that their partner is going to go and do something crazy. And if that happens, a lot of the times that's accompanied with such a feeling of anger and betrayal.
That it's like a black and white.
Yeah, that it's a little bit more, and not to say every single divorce is emotionally so difficult. And when somebody betrays you and breaks your trust, it's so horrific. But it's also so difficult and sad when you're not really sure why the marriage ended. Mm-hmm. So if I could be so bold as to glean some life lessons at the age of 39, I would say it's, you know,
by the way, you being 39 is making me feel like, what the hell have I done with my life?
I know, my God.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute. What? I'm doing the math. Like, you must have graduated pretty much when I graduated. So thanks for that.
What's the opposite of a wedding planner? A divorce lawyer.
So it's funny because I was 25 when I graduated law school. So I'm still a little young in terms of the, you know, compared to other people who have been practicing in the field, but I've been doing this now for, you know, it's been 14 years, which feels like a really long time. So,
wow.
But I think just helping people through divorces for a decade, you really have such an intimate view of marriages and the way they end,
the
biggest lessons
view
I could learn is there is no magic formula. People change all the time. And it's really kind of recognizing the fragility of love and that it is, you need to work at it every day and that things go up and down. I used to think that because I was a divorce lawyer that somehow, you know, it would make me appreciate things more. Like if you were working with people who are hungry, that you appreciate food so much more. And I think that does hold true in the short term, but then we all sort of revert to the mean, right? And it's easy to just take it for granted. And so in the beginning, I would say, you know, oh, thank God my husband's not, you know, doing something crazy. And, you know, oh, therefore I should never get annoyed about the fact that he is a bit of a hoarder and does a little bit of a clutter. But I still, inevitably, I get annoyed about that. So it's not that it's this, being a divorce lawyer is this balm that, you know, saves you from getting annoyed with your partner. But I think what it does do is it just, you see that everybody changes, everything changes, and to sort of expect that and ride along with it a little bit more.
Yeah, you got to change together more than apart.
You have to be open to allowing that, right?
Yeah, and don't, and try not to take it for granted. And I know what the process is, so I'm certainly a realist, and expect that you're going to have problems, that it's not going to be this smooth ride the whole time. I think anybody who, you know, is constantly posting on Facebook about how their marriage is just so wonderful and, you know, happy anniversary to the best person in the whole world. You know, usually there's something else going on there. Every couple has something, because I see so many couples who look like the perfect families from the outside, and there's a lot going on in there. So I think also recognizing that the grass is not always greener, that every couple has something, that you'd be surprised. Nobody really knows what goes on inside of a family, except for those in it. So I don't know if that made sense, but I just think it's this acknowledgement of that every relationship is this fragile, beautiful thing that needs care and attention.
Yeah, that's a good reminder for sure.
That really is. That was pretty deep. That was pretty awesome. I'm serious. Thanks. No, thanks. That was awesome.
And I'm still a believer in love. I love going to weddings myself. And, you know, I'm not a cynic, even though I see people in bad relationships every day.
Good.
I do think I agree with you. And it's so, I can viscerally feel that the scarier, sadder way for a marriage to end is the slow years of kind of sputtering out, and then maybe looking at your partner that you've taken this journey with. I think, like, sometimes it's when the empty nest thing happens and they've raised kids together and now the last one's off to college and you find yourself in the same house with someone and just like, oh, I don't really even know that much about this person anymore, or it's been so long since I felt like I was listened to or that this person was delighted by me. And that is why when you get married and you feel so excited to walk down the aisle to this partner that you love so much, that feeling in our bodies and in our stomach, we have to remember what that feels like. Like, don't forget that, because there's something to the physical reaction we have for our partner, like that feeling of just love, like sexual love, like love, like just for this person that is not like the love you have for your parents or your children, this person that you just think is so awesome and you feel so great that they think you're awesome. That is an actual feeling. And we have to remember what that feels like when times get tough or things get kind of spaced out and far apart. If too much of that time goes on, we forget that feeling. And, you know, Michelle and I have both been married for about, I'm almost 10 years and you're over 10 years, but, you know, marriage has ups and downs and ebbs and flows and, you know, it doesn't stop.
It never stops. For you all getting married for the rest of your lives, it will never stop changing and being very, so, so very hard at times that you're just like, I might need to call Alyssa. Yeah.
So before you call Alyssa, call your best friend and say, like, remind me what I was like when I was in love with this man or when I was in love with this person. Remind me what my face did when I talked about him. Remind me how excited I was that we were going to take this, you know, giant journey together. Remind me of that. And if I can get back to that, or if I can feel it again, then maybe we can, you know.
Well, then call your best friend right now and tell her to remember this right now, because you're going to be calling her every so many years to remind you of how you're feeling right now.
You know, what we talk about wedding planning, obviously that's what this podcast is about. But we tell you guys listening all the time that the wedding is just a party. It is a fantastic, amazing celebration, but it is one day. And if you are getting wrapped up in like the stress and the craziness and the heaviness of wedding planning, you've got to take it down a notch, because what happens after the wedding is the important part and the wonderful part and the way harder part. So that's where this is all going. We want to give you guys the best tools we can, but be realistic. I mean, a party is one thing. Life with a man who cannot put his socks in a hamper, no matter where you put the hamper, that is a whole nother thing.
Amen. Alyssa, anything else that you wanted to tell our listeners before we wrap up?
No, I think you guys have covered a lot of ground. Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, Alyssa, thank you so much for doing this and I learned already. And if anyone wanted to find, are you like on social media, or are there any articles they could read.
Yeah, I mean, my website has all my articles. It's rauerllc.com, and I'm at alyssa@rauerllc.com. And if you don't live in New York and are interested in a prenup, I'm happy to give you a recommendation for somebody in your state. So,
and that's Rauer, R-O-W-E-R, by the way.
And we'll include all those links, and I'll include the links to some of the articles that you've written that are kind of like Cliff Notes versions of all this as well. So thank you. Thank you for being on.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Alyssa.
Yes. So you can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. On Patreon, if you want to contribute and say thank you to us, we will happily and gladly accept it. That is www.patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. And if you want to email us, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. We answer all the emails. It might not be for a couple of days, but we will get to it. And then we have a voicemail. You can call and leave us a question. We'll play your question during one of our You Ask, We Answer episodes. 415-723-1625. As always, make our day. Leave us a review.
Please, please.
We love you.
Yes.
Hashtag plan that wedding.
Hashtag plan that wedding. And look for us on Instagram. Follow us if you're not already. All right, you guys, have an awesome week. Happy planning, everyone. Christy, I will talk to you next week.
Bye.